From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo underscores eminence of Pancasila values in tackling COVID-19. Clashes outside White House as U.S. cities under curfew. Now the news in details. Pancasila's state ideology serves as a guiding beacon to enliven the spirit of Indonesian nationhood, mutual care and cooperation, and brotherhood as they persist ceaselessly in overcoming the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted Pantaranus Agency President Joko Widodo during a virtual event to commemorate the birth of Pancasila at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Monday stated, that the coronavirus pandemic has also tested the endurance of the nation's sacrifice, discipline, obedience, and mental composers in preparing upside and swift policies to respond to challenges presented during this difficult time. The President remarked in facing this test, Pancasila remains a guiding beacon to encourage us all to continue to forge ahead, stand united, adopt a caring and sharing approach, and strengthen the nation. Some 74 Indonesian citizens departed from the Queen Alia International Airport, Amman, Jordan's capital city, on Sunday, aboard Qatar Airways flight QF956 and landed at the Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Cengkareng, Banten province on Monday. As stated by Antaranus Agency, the self-initiated repatriation involving students of the Nurul Fikri Islamic Boarding Schools, members of the Jamaah Tabligh congregation, and university students who completed their studies. That was facilitated by the Indonesian Embassy in Amman. The returnees belong to the Indonesian Embassy's second batch of the self-initiated repatriation mission, while the first batch of the Indonesian affected by the ongoing global pandemic of the novel coronavirus disease had returned home in April. Indonesian Ambassador to Amman, Andi Rahmianto, remarked that in ensuring the state's presence since the onset, the Indonesian Embassy in Amman has facilitated the repatriation process based on its authority to ensure that the citizens can return home safely. Police fired tear gas outside the White House late Sunday as anti-racism protesters again took the street to voice fury of the police brutality and major U.S. cities were put under curfew to suppress rioting. As quoted by AFP.com, with the Trump administration branding instigators of 6 nights of rioting as domestic terrorists, there were more confrontations between protesters and police and fresh outbreaks of looting. Violent clashes erupted repeatedly in a small park next to the White House, with authorities using tear gas, pepper spray and flashbang grenades to disperse crowds who lit several large fires and damaged property. Local U.S. leaders appealed to the citizens to give construction outlet to their rage over the death of an unarmed black man in Minneapolis, while nighttime curfew were imposed in cities including Washington, Los Angeles, and Houston. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Violence has erupted in cities across the U.S. on the 6 nights of protests sparked by the death in police custody of African-American George Floyd. As quoted by BBC.com, dozens of cities imposed curfews, but many people ignored them, leading to standoffs and clashes. Riot Police faced off with protesters in New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles, firing tear gas and pepper bullets to try to disperse crowds. Police vehicles were set on fire and shops were looted in several cities. The country is experiencing the most widespread racial turbulence and civil unrest since the backlash to the assassination of Martin Luther King in 1968. The outpouring of anger began last Tuesday after a video showed Floyd being arrested in Minneapolis and a white police officer continuing to kneel on his neck even after he pleaded he could not breathe and fell unconscious. Iran's government has warned for a second and stronger wave in the Middle East because coronavirus outbreaks after reporting its highest daily number of cases in the past 2 months. As quoted by BBC.com, the health ministry said on Monday that 2,979 new infections had been recorded in the past 24 hours, bringing the total to 154,445 cases. There were also 81 deaths, raising the overall toll 7,878. Health Minister Saeed Namaki told a news conference that people seem to think the coronavirus is over. The outbreak is not over yet, and at any moment it may come back stronger than before. Abdelkader Ramun hasn't slept in days. The 44-year-old Syrian and his family are among thousands of recognized refugees about to lose the temporary homes they were given under Greece's asylum seekers housing scheme. As quoted by AFP.com, as of Monday, authorities will start moving more than 1,200 people out of flats, hotels, and camps on the mainland to make room for other asylum seekers currently living in these small island camps. Ramun's family has been given until the end of June to vacate his small European Union-funded flat in the ports of Piraeus, but he has little confidence that later they will find alternative accommodation. The Democratic Republic of the Congo reported a fresh Ebola outbreak in its northwest on Monday, the latest health emergency for a country already fighting an epidemic of the deadly fever in the east, as well as surging numbers of coronavirus infections. As quoted by AFP.com, the 11th Ebola outbreak in the fast Central African country's history comes just weeks before it had hoped to declare the end of the chant in the east. Health Minister Etienne Longondo said that 4 people have already died from Ebola in a district of the northwestern city of Mbandaka. Minister Longondo told a press conference on Monday that the National Institute of Biomedical Research has confirmed that samples from Mbandaka tested positive for Ebola. He said the ministry will send them the vaccine and medicine very quickly and plan to visit the site of the outbreak at the end of the week. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Welcome back, listener. Here is commentary for today entitled Fulfillment of Children's Rights Amid COVID-19 Pandemic. June 1st is commemorated as the International Day for Protection of Children. The day was declared to draw the world's attention to issues affecting children. At the same time, this reminds adults who have a debt to give the best provisions to the children. The United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child in 1989 states that there are 10 children's rights, namely the right to play, to get education, protection, name, national status, food, access to health, recreation, equality, and to have a role in development. During the COVID-19 pandemic, children certainly need more attention. The number of children exposed to COVID-19 in Indonesia really makes many parties concerned. Based on the Indonesian Child Protection Commission, until May 2020, at least 800 Indonesian children were positively exposed by the COVID-19. The riskier the child is exposed to the COVID-19, the greater the task of parents are. And especially considering that children are not fully able to live by paying attention to the health protocols. Their movements are increasingly limited. their desires to play with their peers cannot be fully fulfilled, and their wish to attend learning activities at school must also be extended. For those from families with limited economies living in rural areas, inland areas, and directly affected by COVID-19, this condition will certainly add to the burden. Because not all Indonesian families have digital devices that allow the remote education process to run smoothly. Not to mention, the ability of parents to be directly involved in the learning process in the network is not evenly distributed. Such a situation is now the duty and responsibility of all parties to fulfill the rights of children. Of course, by prioritizing the most important aspects, undeniably, children do have the rights to play, to develop their images and creations. But at this moment, the rights to health and education are the most essential. With the involvement of all parties, children can be prepared into a group that is ready to live in a new normal order. They always wear masks when going outside the house, wash their hands frequently, keep their distance, and stay at home more. Parents and the schools can motivate children to boost their creativity. The central and regional governments are expected to allocate a special budget for the long-distance education process. The budget allocated is aimed for teachers' capacity building to design easy and simple, effective and good quality distance education. The COVID-19 pandemic period can be a momentum to foster children's sympathy and empathy so that they are more sensitive to their surroundings and foster a spirit of mutual assistance. Hopefully, the number of children exposed to the COVID-19 will not continue to increase. Hopefully, Indonesian children will grow into a healthy and strong generation. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any services that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
What's up, Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History? I'll begin with June 2, 1946, when Italian Institutional Referendum 1946. An institutional referendum was held in Italy on June 2, 1946, and is an important event in modern Italian history. Until 1946, Italy was an empire led by the House of Savoia. However, then Italian Prime Minister Benito Mussolini imposed a fascism system and dragged Italy into World War II, allying with the Nazis of Germany. The referendum was held after Italy's defeat in the war. Most voters in this referendum wanted a republican system, so the Italian Republic was founded in 1946. Let's move on to June 2, 1953, where Elizabeth II is crowned Queen of England. Queen Elizabeth II is the longest head of state to govern to date. She ascended the throne on June 2, 1953 at the age of 25. The coronation ceremony was held at Westminster's Abbey, London, marked by the reading of the oath before the guests, state's guests, and leaders of the Commonwealth. Elizabeth II succeeded her father, King George VI, who died on February 6, 1952, to become head of state of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth of Nations. We'll conclude on June 2, 1967, where protests in West Berlin against the arrival of the Iranian Shah turned violent. Beno Oresorg was killed by the police. Beno Oresorg was a German student who was killed by police officers on June 2, 1967 during a demonstration in Berlin against the visit of the Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, to Germany. His death inspired the founding of the radical group called the June 2nd Movement. A monument in memory of Oresorg's death was erected in Berlin, in his hometown, in Hanover. His name is enshrined on a bridge that crosses the Ihme River in honor of him. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Kala kita lihat sepasang merpati terbang lepas bebas tepat di hadapan. Lalu kau bertanya, kapan kita bagai mereka?
Lepas bebas,
lepas bebas ke ujung dunia.
Dan ku bertanya, maukah kau terima pinangan tanpa sisa cinta yang lain?
Rona bahagia
terpancar dari anggukan.
Saat ku pasangkan
pasang cincin di jemari.
Terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati.
Dan ku bertanya, maukah kau terima pinangan tanpa sisa cinta yang lain?
Rona bahagia
terpancar dari anggukan.
Saat ku pasangkan
pasang cincin di jemari.
Terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini.
bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati. Saat ku pasangkan pasang cincin di jemari, terima kasih kau terima pertunangan indah ini. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati. Bahagia meski mungkin tak sebebas merpati.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling Indonesia places first Indonesian honorary consul for Antigua and Barbuda. To actively improve bilateral relations between Indonesia and Antigua and Barbuda, the government of the Republic of Indonesia has appointed Paul E. Ryan, a prominent businessman in Antigua and Barbuda, as the first Indonesian honorary consul for Antigua and Barbuda. The appointment was in accordance with the decree of the President of the Republic of Indonesia on November 8, 2019, and was completed with a commission letter. In the letter, President Joko Widodo stated that to protect the interests of the state and citizens of the Republic of Indonesia in Antigua and Barbuda, Paul E. Ryan was appointed as Honorary Consul of the Republic of Indonesia at St. John's, Antigua and Barbuda. Paul E. Ryan has begun his duties as Honorary Consul after receiving an exequatur on December 4, 2019, signed by the Governor General of Antigua and Barbuda, acting on behalf of Queen Elizabeth II. The inauguration processions and the inaugurations of the Honorary Consul of the Republic of Indonesia's office in Antigua and Barbuda were scheduled to take place in March 2020. But the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic has caused the processions to be postponed. The Indonesian ambassador to Bogota, currently Antigua and Barbuda, Priyo Iswanto, as non-resident ambassador to Antigua and Barbuda, representing President Joko Widodo, is scheduled to inaugurate the office of the Indonesian Honorary Consul for Antigua and Barbuda when the situation is conducive. As Honorary Consul, Paul E. Ryan also plays a major role in supporting Ambassador Priyo Iswanto in promoting bilateral relations between Indonesia and Antigua and Barbuda, particularly in the economic and socio-cultural fields and the protection of Indonesian citizens in Antigua and Barbuda. Ambassador Priyo Iswanto expressed his confidence that Paul E. Ryan, with his outstanding reputation and extensive network in his country, will be able to bring about and facilitate business-to-business contacts between Antigua and Barbuda entrepreneurs and their Indonesian partners. Indonesia regards Antigua and Barbuda as important partners in the Caribbean region. Since the establishment of diplomatic relations on September 23, 2011, the two countries have shown strong relations both in bilateral and multilateral relations. The Indonesian government has granted a visa-free policies to citizens of Antigua and Barbuda to visit Indonesia, as stipulated in Presidential Decree No. 21-2016 as part of facilitation to promote people-to-people contact. Paul E. Ryan is leading entrepreneurs in Antigua and Barbuda who has intensive collaboration with partners in Asia. At present, he also serving as a member of the Economic Recovery Committee recently established by the government of Antigua and Barbuda, with the main focus on job creation, economic diversification, creations of new companies and new markets, and accelerating trade affairs. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kaswadi.
Jadi satu di dalam ikatan percaya. Ini asmaraku, ini
is like a miracle, and it is more than just a physical attraction. Even though we're individuals, but we have this spiritual connection. The passion that is always you, the one and only. Baby, you can call me every time you feel you want me, and I'll be there for you. And I know you too, and I love you. So the world is falling apart.
Jadi diriku sendiri, aku tambah yakin kepada kamu.
What?
Kamu,
who?
Kamu,
yeah.
Kau adalah yang terindah, yang membuat hatiku tenang. Cintai kamu, takkan pernah takut. Sebab kau terima segala.
Still rock my
baby,
world.
I love
you too, girl. And I love you when you smile, you're so cute, girl. Hey, but don't be jealous when I'm hanging with my fellas. When me and you together, girl, it's like the time is endless. And when the time is right, I'll be happy by my side. Saying this to your dad, sir. Can I marry your daughter? Sing it for me, girl.
Do you love me like I love you?
Of course I do.
Do you love me like I love you? Oh, I don't lie.
Yeah.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Gedung Pancasila. June the 1st is commemorated as Pancasila Day, a national holiday in Indonesia. Pancasila is an Indonesian state ideology. Pancasila comes from Sanskrit language, namely Panca and Sila, which means basic of five principles. Only concept and formula of Pancasila for the first time was stated by Sukarno, the first Indonesian president, in the meeting of Dokuritsu Jombi Cho Osake, or Investigation Agency for the Preparation for Independence, BPUPKI, on June 1, 1945. Because of that, June the 1st is always commemorated as the birth of Pancasila Day. Talking about history of the birth of Pancasila, the evidence of history which still exists until now is Gedung Pancasila, which is located on Jalan Pejambon 6, Central Jakarta. The white building, which became Volksraad building or representative's building according to some literatures in the Dutch language, constructed in 1830. Designed by architect J. Tron, earlier the building was constructed as residence of commander of the armed forces of the Dutch kingdom, who was also concurrently as lieutenant governor general of the Dutch East Indies, Duke Bernhard, in 1792 until 1862. In the Japanese colonial era, the building was used again as the place of the hearing of the consideration body, or Chosangi-in, so that the name of the building was more popular as Chosangi-in Building. When Japan defeated in the Pacific War, finally Indonesian fighters led by Soekarno established Dokuritsu Jumbi Chosaki, or Investigation Agency for Preparation for Indonesian Independence, BPU-PKI. The agency used again the building as a place where they held sessions. Because the first concept of Pancasila was born at this building, so the building is well known with the name Gedung Pancasila. Gedung Pancasila was established by using classical Empire and Doric styles. Gedung Pancasila has square shape facing to the northwest. At the front of the building, there are 8 pillars which function as supporting of the roof of the terrace. There are 3 entrance doors to the main room. At the left and right of the entrance door, there are 2 cannons. Above the door, there is pergola panel decoration. And some rooms, among others, building room, administrative room, waiting room, gentleman's room, ladies' room, library room, banquet lounge, and agreement room. At the front yard of Gedung Pancasila, there is small area as a place where a red white flag is hoisted. Behind the flagpole, there is olive tree which was a gift from Prince of Arab when visited Indonesia. The seed of the olive tree was given as appreciation to national heroes who fought for Indonesian independence. After proclamation of the Indonesian independence, Gedung Pancasila was used as a place of the special session to legalize constitution and to elect Indonesian president and vice president. During 1945 until 1949, the building functioned as a place of the United Indonesian Committee session, and in 1956 was used as the Foreign Ministry building until at present. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Mungkin terjadi. cinta kita harus relakan.
Oh Tuhan, tunjukkan segala alasan
dan ku terjaga dalam pelukanmu. Kini ku sadari terjadi.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is di bandara, or in English, at the airport. Next, I will give an example of conversation in di bandara, or in English, at the airport. At the airport, Kevin wants to go to the immigration department, but he doesn't know where the location. At the airport, then he asks the airport clerk he meets.
Permisi, Pak. Di mana letak bagian imigrasi?
Di dekat tempat mengambil bagasi.
Dari sini, saya harus kemana?
Bapak lurus saja, kemudian belok ke kiri.
Oh baik Pak, terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to today's topic, which is di bandara or at the airport. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Lurus, lurus, which means straight. Belok kiri, which means turn left. Belok kanan, which means turn right. Di mana letak bagian imigrasi? Di mana letak bagian imigrasi, which means where is the immigration department? Di dekat tempat mengambil bagasi. Di dekat tempat mengambil bagasi, which means near the place of claiming the luggage. Dari sini saya harus kemana? Dari sini saya harus kemana? Which means where should I go from here? Bapak lurus saja, kemudian belok kiri. Bapak lurus saja, kemudian belok kiri. Which means you just go straight, then turn left. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Sama-sama. Sama-sama, which means you are welcome. The word di mana or where is used to ask the location of a place. Let's listen to these examples. Di mana letak toilet? Di mana letak toilet, which means where is the toilet? Di mana letak klinik? Di mana letak klinik, which means where is the clinic? To respond to that question, you can use the preposition di, which means at, on, etc. For example, di depan. Di depan, which means in front of. Di lantai dua. Di lantai dua, which means on the second floor. Di dekat. Di dekat, which means near. Di seberang. Di seberang, which means across. When you want to know the direction to that location, one of the questions that can be asked is, dari sini saya harus kemana? Dari sini saya harus kemana? Which means, from here, where should I go? To respond to that question or to show direction of a location, to show a direction to a location, you can use direction such as lurus, belok kiri, belok kanan, which means straight, turn left, and turn right. Example, di mana letak kantor pos? Di mana letak kantor pos, which means where is the post office? Di seberang kantor polisi di Jalan Dago. Di seberang kantor polisi di Jalan Dago, which means across from the police station on Jalan Dago. Dari sini saya harus kemana? Dari sini saya harus kemana? Which means where should I go from here? Bapak bisa lurus, kemudian belok kanan. Bapak bisa lurus, kemudian belok kanan, which means you can go straight and then turn right. Saya mau ke toko buku. Dari sini saya harus kemana? Saya mau ke toko buku. Dari sini saya harus kemana? Which means I want to go to the bookstore. Where should I go from here? Bapak bisa belok kiri, kemudian lurus. Bapak bisa belok kiri, kemudian lurus. Which means you can turn left, then straight ahead. In Indonesian, the word bapak is used to address an older or respected man. In spoken language, the words bapak can be abbreviated to pak. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once more.
Permisi, Pak. Di mana letak bagian imigrasi?
Di dekat tempat mengambil bagasi.
Dari sini, saya harus kemana?
Bapak lurus saja, kemudian belok kiri.
Oh, baik, Pak. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can help you learning more about the language. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
ku tak percaya hingga saat ini masih saja engkau ada dan menggenggam cinta. Kini ku mengerti arti kesetiaan yang kau tunjukkan padaku selama ini kasih. Ku takkan kecewakan, semuanya terlalu indah. Aku kini selalu ada hanya untukmu, tanpa dirimu ku tahu ku takkan begini. Biar semua menjadi saksi cinta kita bersemi indah di lubuk hatiku sampai akhir nanti. Dengan kekuatan cinta
tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malay song entitled Daras Singkawang, sung by Dayang Sari. Composed by Muhammad Al-Qadri, the song Daras Singkawang tells a story of a Singkawang girl. Singkawang is a city in West Kalimantan province. The lyrics of the song tells about Singkawang girl, who is so beautiful with her dimple, wearing long kebaya and bun. A graceful attitude is a reflection of the Malay culture. The lyrics of the song Daras Singkawang are quite simple and sung repeatedly. The song has a dynamic music, so it will invite us for dancing. The song included in the Singka 2 album, which was released in 2019. Listener, let's listen to the song Daras Singkawang, sung by Dayang Sari. Enjoy the song.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.